All right, on this episode of Bouks Talkin' Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual who is in quite the high-octane fight, at least on paper. We'll see that on April 29th at BKFC 41, a fight that a lot of people have talked about for many years as Eddie Alvarez and Chad Mendes ready to knuckle up and toe the line. And great having Chad on the show. How's your day going so far, Chad?
So far, so good, man. Just got up a little while ago, made the family breakfast, and jumping in and doing some of these interviews before training. So far, so good, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, great getting to finally talk to you. I guess I'm kind of wondering, like, when the dialogue really started ramping up for this sophomore BKFC effort, because I think a lot of people were really curious to see you get back in there. Like, when did the, I guess, dialogue get going for, you know, this fight and this particular opponent?
Yeah, we, after the fight last year was in February, my head boxing coach, his daughter, ended up getting cancer, and there was a ton of stuff that kept him out of the gym. So honestly, there was a big period where we just didn't have much time to train then. And honestly, I just wasn't sure if I was going to fight again, in all honesty. But, you know, just going to work with all the other businesses I got and just staying busy that way. And I think towards the end of this last year, you know, BKFC started reaching out. It wasn't until the beginning of this year that the name Eddie got brought up. And, you know, up until then, there was not a ton of motivation for me to do it. But as soon as they mentioned Eddie and they were going to be signing him, you know, I told them, I want to do it. Let's do this. Like, that's a fight that gets me excited. That's a fight that will motivate me to get back in there. Not to mention it's going to be my biggest payday to date too. So, that's definitely motivating also. So, no, man, I'm excited. This is a fight that, you know, obviously I've watched Eddie for a really long time. You know, I've always liked his style. You know, so to get in there and fight a guy like this is, you know, especially towards the end of my career, you know, this is definitely me winding down, but to go out, if this is my last fight, which is definitely something I've talked about, I'm not 100% sure yet. We'll just kind of see how this one goes. But if it is, like, this is a way to go out, I think. So, yeah, man, I'm excited. I feel great. This is one of the better fight camps I've ever had. You know, been doing a meat-based diet now for the last 2 years due to autoimmune disease that I have. And basically just eating meat, eggs, fruit, and minimal dairy. And it's the best I've ever felt, man. I wish I would have known about this years ago. So I'm excited to just get in there and see with all that, you know, and then obviously all the just fine tuning of all the boxing stuff, like how I feel. So we're close, man. We're about a week and a half out.
Yeah, and I saw some of the before and after pictures just with the diet and how it really cleared things up a lot, and just, you know, very stark difference between the first two, like a very pronounced difference for sure. And I guess just in the context of, you know, being mindful of health and coming in, you know, a certain way, like fully optimized, I would think that fighting at 165 pounds would probably serve that master too.
Yeah, man. I mean, I walk around about 170 to 175. So, Eddie was asking to go up. I know he's been fighting kind of, well, it'll be 2 years since he's fought, I think. And then we were kind of talking a little bit, and he's, you know, he thought he was going 180s, I think. He was going to be fighting Mike Perry, and then, you know, we ended up making the deal. And then it was going to be at 55s, and he's like, can you go up a bit? So, yeah, I agreed on 165. It's actually 166. We get the 1 pound, too. So, yeah, I mean, shit, that's like 2 weight classes up for me. But, man, it's going to be nice not having to, like, kill myself. I'm usually cutting 20 to sometimes even 30 pounds, depending on, you know, what weight class. But, man, it's going to be nice to just go in there feeling completely fresh. You know, hopefully keep all that explosiveness powered up and get to unleash it in there. So,
yeah, and something I also find refreshing just from like more of a layman kind of fandom perspective is just how much this fight really does sell itself. Like, even during the face-offs, it seemed like yourself and Eddie were like very respectful of one another and mutually excited for this fight. So it's kind of cool to see a fight where you don't need, like, you know, canned lines and boisterous, like, over the top kind of, you know, braggadocio to sell it. It's like just both of your names really articulate what this fight's going to be. So that's refreshing, I think.
100%, man. Same here. I mean, it's, you know, we both busted our asses our entire careers to get to where we're at right now. You know, and it's nice to be here and getting paid what we're getting paid, and you know, have an opponent in front of each other basically that we both respect, like what we've done. Like I know what Eddie's done, he knows what I've done, and you know, like you said, the fight's gonna sell itself. We don't need to get up there and put on this WWE, you know, fake ass bunch of shit talking, you know. It's like I know it's gonna be a war. He knows it's gonna be a war. The fans know it's gonna be a war. Like, just bring it. Let's do this.
Yeah, for sure. And just kind of backtracking a bit to you earlier talking about some of the preparatory work, it seems like Lorenzo Trevino has been of great help. I mean, just in general, but in this particular camp, based on a recent post I saw, and it seems like some great rounds of sparring with Dwight Joseph took place as well. Can you kind of speak to that specific work you've had? I mean, you were talking about how you feel the best you've ever felt. So, I mean, that really does speak volumes considering your career.
Yeah, man, Lorenzo has been a huge help. You know, starting off the camp, I had Dwight. He was in there kind of prepping for a fight that he had, a title fight. So I really only got a couple weeks with him, but then Lorenzo's pretty much been there since and finished out this camp with me. And man, that dude is a stud boxer, and is definitely, I feel like, taking my game to the next level as far as boxing goes. So, yeah, he's definitely been a big push throughout this entire camp. And, dude, I'm just excited to get in there and showcase it. You know, it's one of those things you've busted your ass for, and it's now time to get in there and just time to shine, you know. I feel excited. I feel energized with it, and I'm just – I want to get in there and prove, you know, prove what I know, what I can do. And that time has almost come. And it's great because this camp did feel like it went by quick. That last one kind of kept dragging on. I think I trained for a little over a year getting ready for that fight because it just got postponed a couple times. But, you know, this 10 weeks and just we're right on track. Felt like it went right by. No overtrain, no injuries, knock on wood. And we're good. We're here. So it is almost time.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a great market for free agents. Like, as you were saying before, this one being the biggest purse you've garnered, which, I mean, pretty incredible considering you've been opposite, you know, Conor McGregor, and much was made about that BKFC debut payout kind of usurping Ngannou's UFC 270 purse there and everything like that. So, I mean, as you're, you know, talking about, you're at a point where it's like, oh, I might keep fighting, I might not. Can you speak to just, I guess, the broader landscape for, you know, free agency and people kind of like getting like their optimized kind of value and stuff like that, like testing the market? Because it seems like one of the more, I guess, fruitful times for that.
Yeah, for sure, man. And it's cool to see that at the end of my career. I wasn't sure if it was something I would get to see or even get paid, you know? So it's definitely a cool time. There's opportunities and options now outside of the UFC. And, you know, I think guys are starting to realize that. People are starting to bounce around a little bit, which is cool, man. It just adds variety, you know, makes it fun for the fans, I think. But then also just provides a ton for us, for our families, you know. It's like we're killing ourselves every single day to go on there and perform, you know, and it's sometimes the pay's not very good, and it's disheartening, definitely, especially with a loss. You know, and the way that some pay structures are, where it's 50-50. If you win, you get the other 50. If you don't, you don't. So, you know, it's like adding salt to the wound there. And so, you know, you walk away from something like that, and it's tough. But, yeah, man, it's great to see these options popping up all around. I mean, you got this organization. There's one. There's PFL is doing those million-dollar contract or the million-dollar tournaments. Like, it's just pretty cool to see. So I know Masvidal's boxing thing, that looked pretty cool. We talked about possibly fighting Aldo, but it was going to be too close to this one. But, you know, I don't know. Ultimately, I'm still under UFC contract. There's a lot of other things I'd like to try. But, yeah, for me to do anything else outside of this, if it was like that Masvidal boxing stuff, I got to get okayed from the UFC. So I don't know if that would even happen. But they did okay me to do three fights here, so there is a possibility of one more if the money makes sense, I guess.
Yeah, and it seems like oriented to the opponent too, like you're talking about the respect for Eddie Alvarez and just really, you know, getting up for a test like that. Like, it seems like your motivation is more oriented to the particular opponent than, say, like a pursuit towards a title. So I guess it's kind of predicated on like what type of matchup they would present you, I guess.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I would definitely want somebody that, you know, makes sense. Somebody that motivates me, somebody that pushes me just like this one. Like, I don't know who that would be, but I know they're signing a ton of new guys all the time. So we'll see, man. Let's just get through this fight and hopefully don't have any broken hands or a broken face or anything crazy. And then we'll kind of reassess and go from there.
I guess to that point, was there any, I guess, residual damage from the first fight that you noticed? I mean, from like a layman perspective, it seems like you got, you know, quite an emphatic finish, but was there any damage accrued in that effort at all?
I mean, my hands were sore for quite a while after. I never went and got an x-ray. I don't know if there was fractures, but nothing was like majorly broken for sure. But yeah, they were, my right hand especially was pretty sore for a couple months, maybe 3 months even after, but everything healed up. I came home and the first thing I did was grabbed my bow and my release and shot it, and there was no pain pulling my bow back and shooting it, so I was good to go. I was pumped.
Yeah, well, I love to hear that. Keeping the lifestyle intact and everything like that is always important. And just a bit ago, you were talking about like the family and how, you know, much of a family man you are. And I was seeing some recent pictures of kind of you out on like certain like turkey hunts and things of that nature, and, you know, going out with your daughter and kind of like showing her the ropes a little bit. Can you kind of speak to that? I would think that would be like a hugely important thing for you. It seems like both of you really, you know, light up when you're kind of out there doing that and everything.
Oh, 100%, man. I grew up hunting and fishing. My dad got me into it when I was a little kid. And, you know, it's just, that's how we got most of our meat. And, you know, that was just kind of our lifestyle. So, you know, obviously now as an adult, and I have two baby girls, and one of them, she's just about to turn 4. That's Lou. She's my little hunting buddy for sure. She absolutely loves going out with me, and we've done some turkey hunts and wild boar hunts and deer hunts, and she loves it. She loves just seeing the whole process. You know, once we kill, I teach her, you know, okay, this is how we get our meat. This is what we do. She helps me with all that. And, you know, and then we cook stuff inside, we feed it to her and we explain like, okay, this is the wild turkey that we just got, and she understands it and likes it. So it's cool to just be able to pass that down, man, to the next generation. And, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. You know, there's a lot of people that try to demonize it, and I think that's wrong. You know, I think this is the way we were supposed to live, and it's definitely the healthier alternative. So I just want to pass that on. I want to pass on the reasons for hunting and fishing, why we do it, you know, and how much it means to me, and hopefully they see that and feel that, and I think they do. And that's just something that means a ton to me, man. That is something that if I could pass on anything through my adulthood to my kids, it's, you know, the responsibilities of hunting and fishing and living off the land and why we do it. So I think we're on the right track. I think it's something we do together. We share a lot of great memories, and she is just hilarious. I love going on these hunting trips with her when we can. Man, it's just a good time for me too. So I love it.
Yeah, I really get that impression, man. So great to hear that's the case. And also great to hear that you enjoyed yourself in my neck of the woods, Canada, for the, you know, big mule deer and stuff like that. That seemed like a fun time for you as well.
Heck yeah, dude, that place is magical. I was just thinking that the other day. I need to try to plan a trip. It's been a few years, but yeah, the mule deer out there were unreal. I took my bow out there and ended up getting, I think that was my first buck with a drop tie, and it was pretty cool, man, seeing all the amount of big deer that were out there. So yeah, I need to plan something back out there and get back there with my bow and chase some big old bucks.
I was going to say, whereabouts in Canada were you? I guess I'm presuming you were in Alberta or BC, but like...
Yeah, Alberta. Yep. Yeah, it was super cool.
Yeah, definitely. I lived out there for a few years, and just a lot of, you know, gorgeous nature in general, for sure, man. But definitely want to get into some of the, you know, machinations of this matchup, for lack of a better way to phrase it, because it's a very interesting one, as we were talking about earlier, just the track record you guys have and everything, but also kind of curious with Eddie ready to kind of transition into a new sport, at least in a professional sense. Like, when I talked to him, he was making the joke of like, oh man, I'm more experienced fighting with bare knuckles. This is my first time just getting paid for it. But I mean, I guess to that point, like, what do you think some of his, I guess, transferable stylistic attributes from MMA that he can bring over that could, I guess, serve him well in BKFC? Like, what do you think some of the X's and O's of his game plan might be in his BKFC debut here?
Man, I don't know. I think his biggest attribute is going to be being able to get hit and get back up. He's got the chin that you can tell he's out on his feet, but he's still moving around, and then doesn't just like go out limp on the ground. So with a 10 count there, I mean, he's definitely going to be coming back. So I think if anything, that's probably going to be his strongest attribute outside. I mean, he's got good boxing, so he's already got that. But yeah, I don't know, man. I'm curious to see how he transitions. It's a tiny ring. You know, we have no choice but to be in each other's face the whole time. And that definitely changes the pace and the game tremendously. I mean, you have no choice but to be there and in the red zone the entire fight. So, you know, I don't know. I'm banking on my speed and power and footwork to be a little bit too much for him. You know, I know he's got some really long arms, but you know, I don't think the speed is going to be there, and I don't think, you know, obviously the power, but everything's different, man. There's no gloves on the hand, so it doesn't always mean you got to be the most powerful human being on earth, so anything could happen. That's what's so cool about this sport, man. Anything could happen at any time, but, yeah, man, I'm curious to see how he makes this transition from a big octagon to this tiny little space. And now bare knuckle, we're winging them, man. And the difference between this and a street fight is that I'm a professionally trained athlete, not some bum that you're, you know, beating up on the streets. I've been in a ton of street fights, and it's one of the easiest things to do on earth. It's like, I don't find any pride in beating up some dude that doesn't know how to fight, that's just hot-headed, you know. So, you know, unless he was in there street fighting with pro boxers or something, then you know, that's more impressive. But it's like, we're wrestlers and we're fighters, and we've been doing this our entire lives, versus somebody that's just running their mouth, that has no martial arts training. Like, of course it's easy to beat them up, you know? But yeah, I don't know, man. We'll see how this transition goes on, but I'm feeling confident, man. I feel really good going into this.
Yeah, you're talking about the kind of guys that see red and then the bodies hit the floor, that kind of vibe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, have you had to deal with some of that in the past, or maybe not so much? I mean, maybe people know not to, you know, talk to Chad Mendes or interact with him like that. Have you had to interact with any kind of hot-headed dudes like that prior, or not so much?
Not recently, no. I don't really put myself in those positions anymore. But, I mean, through high school and college, shit, I was in way too many damn street fights. But, yeah. Again, it's not something I'm proud about or want to, you know, brag about. I think it's stupid. I really do. And looking back on my old self, I'm like, just shaking my head. I'm lucky. I mean, I had buddies on different teams. Here's a prime example, but choked some dude out. This guy was a little guy, like a 125 pounder. Got on the dude's back in a street fight, choked him out, and they topped him up against the wall and left him. Well, the way they popped him up, his chin was like really pushing down, and it pinched off his arteries and killed the dude. And so it's like, man, I don't, you know, it's just not worth it, bro. Or guys, one punch KO, which I've done that a ton of times in street fights, and guys fall back and crack their head on the asphalt. Yeah, you know, and I remember my coach in college just lecturing us all the time, like, stop fighting, stop doing this, like, you're gonna kill somebody. And he would give us these instances too. But man, it's, yeah, I mean, I haven't in years, and I pray to God that I don't, but Yeah, my dumbass definitely did it.
Yeah, no, I had meant more like back in the day and stuff like that for sure. And a good point for sure, man. But I do want to be mindful of your time. Don't want to take up too much of your day. I'm sure I could ask you a ton of questions, but I want to be respectful of your time for sure. So is there any like final parting thought you might want to add as we're wrapping up here?
Yeah, man, I think we're good. I'm just, you know, tune in April 29th. This is, like we said, it's this fight's selling itself. This is going to be probably the biggest bare knuckle fight in history, in my opinion. You know, we got a guy that's been in the sport for a long time, two guys that have been in the sport for a long time, you know, two heavy hitters, you know, a guy, multiple weight classes coming together into one, which is always exciting. You know, guys that would have never met up in the UFC are now having that opportunity. And not only is it that time, but it's with no gloves on, straight bare knuckle. So, oh man, it's going to be an exciting fight. Do not miss it.
Yeah, very much excited for it. And again, to reiterate, thanks so much for making the time to come on. Definitely someone I've wanted to interview for a while now. So yeah, looking forward to checking out this fight, man. And you have a good rest of your day as well.
Awesome. Appreciate it, man. You too. Thank you.